He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin.
This is Car Keys.
Good morning to our listeners for this week's show on Car Keys with Jada Markin and Robin Leach. I am going to start the show because I've recently been dealing with a week full of car servicing for vehicles that all seem to come in alignment with the need for or the suggested need for servicing in one in the same week. I started my week dealing with Jeeps, and I had to leave one of the Jeeps at the dealer for new tires and various other things that are needing to be done, and got a loaner from the Stellantis dealer in Tarrington, where I do my services. And it happened to be a vehicle that was briefly on the market here under the Stellantis name or under the Dodge name, called a Dodge Hornet. It did not survive 2 years of marketing. It's been off the market currently because allegedly due to tariff costs increasing, the original sticker price started out in the very low 30s and didn't get much out of the mid 30s. For a vehicle that I panned when I first discussed it on this show a couple of years ago, much because the ones I saw were in an ugly color, and two, I didn't really get to drive the GT model, which I now had the chance to drive while my Jeep was in service. And I will say that is a car that could be a lot of fun. I'm not particularly intrigued by its external look. It doesn't really have the look of a car that ends up driving in a very, very suitable fashion, and I think is very well planted on the road. The suspension is taut, but not rough. The power of the turbocharged Hurricane four-cylinder engine is sensational, and would put a lot of other cars to shame in terms of a 0-60 sprint, I think. The price was extremely desirable. I got the Moroni sticker out of the glove compartment, and I think that what I drove was approximately $37,500 for absolutely everything technology-wise in the car that beats many of the lower levels of some of our U.S. cars, not to be necessarily gone through in the show. But I loved that car so much, I thought about seeing if I could get the dealer to maybe let me purchase it after they took
it out
of
the loaner. I'm sure they'd be very happy to.
Jay,
hold it. They'd be very happy to let you buy it.
Hold it. They probably will, but that hasn't been done yet. They have three of them in, and they're all GT models, and they are... The one I drove had only 16,000 miles on it, and I was very impressed with the drivetrain aspect and the driving capability and feel of this car. So that is it on that note. And Jay will carry on because he wants to talk about Stellantis.
Well, no, I'm going to talk about the Dodge Hornet first. And that when you seemed so enthusiastic the other day about it, I did a little reading because we knew about the car, and like you mentioned, it came and it's gone. And the reviews in the press are actually right on par with what you describe. It's zippy. It's fun to drive. The press people have said it, it's a very firm suspension. And it's a small SUV, right? It's what we call a subcompact, so it compares to a Honda HR-V, not the CR-V, but the smaller model. And what I think Toyota has branded as a Corolla now, a Corolla little SUV, also smaller than a RAV4. So, there is room for a vehicle that size in the market. And you wonder, why wasn't Jeep Dodge, why were Jeep Dodge dealers not able to sell it? Well, it seems like the car was overpriced when it got on the market, but they were willing to discount them, I'm sure. The reason for it being taken off the market, the excuse of the tariffs is you know, it's in part true, but I think the decision had been made before the tariffs came out, 25% on imported vehicles from Europe. And that was just the fact that the car was just not selling, period. And I thought, okay, so why, you know, my thought process is, why is that car not selling when at the same time Jeep stopped producing the Jeep Cherokee? So you would think that dealers who had those cars on the lots would have been able to you know, replace Jeep Cherokee sales with Dodge Hornet sales. Well, evidently that didn't happen. So it's just, to me, it's just mind-boggling that they have not sold any more of those cars. And unlike you, I don't think the car is unattractive. I think it has, it's a different look, for sure. It's a little rounded. But it just, sales just never took off. And I think a lot of that has to do with what dealers are putting on their lots. And we've talked about this before. If you recall, years ago, we had gone to a GM dealership and had tested the first Chevy Bolt when it had just come out. And the only example of the car they had was parked way in the back of the lot behind the SUVs and the pickup trucks. And so I think if dealers are not going to promote a vehicle, they're just not going to sell. And it's that simple. And if you look at what one of the local dealers here has in stock right now, and this is a Jeep Dodge dealership, and I was thinking, okay, what do they have in stock? What are they selling as far as brands? Well, they sell Jeep and they sell Dodge, and Chrysler, and they have one Chrysler minivan in stock because Chrysler only has one model. There are five Dodge vehicles in stock right now, and they're all Durangos. No Chargers, no, I don't know what else Dodge actually makes. Obviously, no Hornets because there are no new Hornets anymore. And then 84 Jeeps. And out of the Jeeps, there, I think like about 50 of the vehicles are Wranglers and Grand Cherokees, which are actually really good models for the brand, right? I mean, the Wrangler is the definition of and is the image of the Jeep brand, and the Grand Cherokee is really a really good SUV and compares well compared to, you know, Audi Q5, BMW X3s and X5s and the likes. But again, if you don't have the vehicles, if you're not promoting the vehicles, you're just not going to sell them.
Okay, Jay, I want to jump in because you're right on spot if we're talking about the same dealership. I've been there quite often this in the last 7 days from this show, and they have five of the new Cherokees in stock. There's not one on the showroom floor. Not one that I have seen has disappeared from the stock that's sitting parked out in back. I drove one of them because I did a test drive on the one on the one I talked about in an earlier show, and it's still sitting there unsold. So, and I've been by two other Jeep dealers, and I cannot see any of the new Cherokees sitting out in front of them. So, what do these dealers think when they've got these vehicles that they've got to try and sell? One salesperson told me that there's no incentive yet out there. Well, there is an incentive if you look at it on and online. There's $1,000 off, and there's maybe some financing that might be interesting. But the fact of the matter is, there is not one that you can see for Jeep recognition people like you and I that should be where it should be if they want to try to sell this newer vehicle, which is a soft version of the old Cherokee. I want to
Well,
say it
they're
that way.
probably,
I want to say it that way because I think it's a nice design. I think it rides nicely. The drivetrain, which I panned initially because it only has a CVT type transmission, no gear, no direct gears, and I don't like that for Jeep. What does that make it sound like? It's tough to go ready to go off road. Well, the publicity online is, yes, it can do all this stuff that the old Cherokee is concerned. That's not what they say. That's what they're inferring or implying. But to be it, if you were going to take the new Cherokee camping versus the old Cherokee, which I'm holding on to, Mine has things that I would be using in the campground that the new Cherokee doesn't have. Not only does it not, well, it doesn't have it, and it's not even available in an upper level, not to
Right,
mention
but
the four levels. So
let's
the
go beyond the
marketing,
Jeep
as you
Cherokee.
say, the marketing is very uneven in the Stellantis world of what's going on.
Well, that is a new vehicle, maybe, and I think, maybe production is not quite up to speed. The vehicles
Oh,
are
it's
not
up to speed, all
available,
right.
and
All the dealers have got them sitting parked out in back, the three that I checked. And they all
okay.
had three or more. Five is not many. Yes, you're right.
My bigger concern for, what we'll
Stellantis.
call the, well, Stellantis and the American legacy manufacturers like Ford and GM,
I
is that
agree.
they have the biggest dealer networks, right? I looked a little bit into
Correct.
that. They're like 2,400 Jeep Dodge dealers, and 2,800 Ford and GM dealers each. And when you compare it to Hyundai, for instance, they have a total, I think, of 800 dealers. And yet they sell way
More
more
cars.
vehicles than Jeep and Dodge.
Well, you're touching on what I think we are both agree in agreement is that there's something wrong with or something not really correct going on with the marketing of American vehicles or the designs or the bringing on of new vehicles. You know, the American manufacturers were have been quick to distance themselves from continuing production of all electric vehicles, and yet Hyundai and Kia and Toyota
Well, and
are
all the other
continuing
men.
along that along keeping stuff vehicles like that available. And there's a headline in this week's Automotive News says crossover heavy brands rethink decisions to sideline electric cars.
Well,
Maybe,
yeah.
yeah,
Here's the thing. European manufacturers took a big hit with the electric vehicle sales, right? We know they didn't take off as expected. We know the EU is softening up on implementing, the all EV sales by 2035 or so. But yet, EV sales are increasing around the world, except here in the US. And
Correct.
so I just think it's short sight thinking
Well,
to pull away
yes.
from EV development. And look at GM right now. GM is pausing the replacement for their very, very large electric vehicles that, the same platform that powers the Hummer,
The
the
pickup trucks.
Cadillac Escalade IQ or whatever it's called,
Lyric.
and the big pickup truck. And they're put saying, "Oh, we're pausing, we're not abandoning it," but they're tiptoeing, and Ford has pulled away from the F-150 Lightning. The message they are sending to customers is like, "We're not sure about this. We're not really going to invest in it." So what do people do? Well, if they really want electric vehicles, and if that market does slowly pick up,
They go elsewhere.
they're going to go elsewhere. And
And the
manufacturers
vehicles are
like
there elsewhere. That's the
they
thing.
are, and the more and more are coming. The new 3 Series electric from BMW is apparently going to be a great vehicle. The first reviews on the 2027 C-Class Mercedes, which is all electric, is it rides like an S-Class, and it has a performance of an AMG, sports car, the sports division of Mercedes. And yet it's just a regular run-of-the-mill Mercedes C-Class. So I think the change is coming. So, back to Stellantis, you just look at the sales numbers, and they're really not good. And I know they replaced their CEO because they blame Carlos Tavares for running, the brand, the Jeep,
Into the ground.
into the ground. But I think the problems were there before, and I think the problems are still there. And if you look at good vehicles in their niche, like the Wrangler, well, the Wrangler That, the Ford Bronco sells almost as well as the Wrangler. So I think that segment of the market has grown, and so Jeep
Well,
opened up the door for Ford to come in with the Bronco. And I think last year sales were pretty even. There's more Wrangler sales than Broncos, I think.
we have a new problem with the Bronco Wrangler pickup truck issue, and that is the problem. And I think some people are having recognition. And let me just continue a minute before we come back to you, Jay, on this. I just did a perusal of Ford dealers between Tarrington and Brookfield, and they are laden, and Millerton, they are l loading up. Broncos are loading up in their lots. Wranglers are omnipresent in the front of several Jeep dealerships as the front line of vehicles that you can only see because there's so many lined up you can't see behind them to see what else is there. On my drive between New Canaan and Sharon, and I think it has to do with the fact that these particular lines of vehicles get miserable gas mileage, and maybe they're
Yeah.
saturating the energetic Jeep backers that just want to have it as a visual evidence of a rugged vehicle that can go anywhere, which is sort of true, but they don't get good mileage. And then now with the gas, right now as we are doing our shows, hovering between $4 a gallon and up, and it's just. When you have a 15-gallon tank and you have a car that gets 15 to 20 miles a gallon, and you're having to put $80 worth of fuel in if it's empty, not quite that for those tank sizes, it's suddenly hitting our pocketbooks. And my Jeeps, the Cherokees, the old ones and the new ones, get between 27 and 40 miles per gallon, and they can do. I think my attitude about the Cherokees that I have is that I can do 90% of what a Jeep Wrangler can do, limited only by ground clearance and not as rugged a and
Robin,
all
that
that.
is a moot
So
point. People buying Jeep Wranglers,
don't
okay,
want Jeep Cherokees. Okay,
or
Jay.
Honda CRVs or
That's correct. That's
Toyota
correct. But they
4Runners or
also they don't realize that, yeah, they want the rugged look over the practicality of my level of Jeep that I
correct.
just said can do probably 90%, but they don't go off road. So who
So here's
cares?
a bigger problem, even for these very specific markets,
Vehicles.
for these rugged vehicles. Now GM is considering, and it's not, they're going to do it, there's no doubt in my mind, is going to come out with a GMC Jimny, which makes total sense. They have the platform, right? Probably their mid-size pickup truck, and they're going to slap an SUV body on that, and so there's going to be another vehicle
Yep.
competing with both the Bronco and the Wrangler.
Correct.
But the bigger picture is, and some of these body on frame vehicles are becoming increasingly popular. Look at Toyota with the new Land Cruiser and the 4Runner. So last year, and I hope I'm correct with these numbers. I don't think I'm far off. Toyota sold, I think, about 60,000 new Land Cruisers and about the same number of 4Runners. I think a fewer 4Runners, but I think the new 4Runner came out later in the year, so it caught up later in the year. And this year is probably going to outsell the Land Cruiser. But those are two body-on-frame SUVs that we do see a lot here. I mean, we see some, and so. They are popular vehicles, and they're selling in numbers that come and tickle both the Wrangler and the Bronco.
Well,
Add to that, we all saw the Hyundai Boulder concept at the New York Auto Show. That vehicle is going to come out. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind, right?
correct. Yep.
And there is no reason if Hyundai is able to outsell
The
Chrysler,
Bronco or the,
Jeep,
well, okay.
in all of their other offerings, with one third of the dealers that
They have.
Stellantis has in the country, there's no doubt in my mind that that vehicle is going to sell in numbers. And again, chip away at the sales of Jeep Wranglers.
Wranglers, right,
So
and
until one day
Broncos
the
maybe.
market for those vehicles just, peters for whenever people, get back to their senses.
They will.
And eventually they will or
Well,
not.
I think we get back to the earlier comment about what are these non-American manufacturers doing that the American manufacturers aren't to try to keep their momentum going in there in the Americans and the sales versus what's happening with the imports
Long-term
and the engines.
planning.
Long-term planning, but long-range patience as well.
Well,
As
that's what
you
I
said
mean.
earlier, the American groups don't seem to have a lot of patience. If they can't
So
keep their
let
assembly
me.
lines running at a certain numerical level, they think it's that they better get rid of the vehicle that's on that line and try to figure out what else to get to up their sales again.
Okay, so this oh, we will never, Americans will never buy Chinese cars, right? Oh no, never.
Well, I
Okay,
think
hold on,
you
hold on. Let me go.
okay.
Let me finish my
Okay.
thought here.
Okay.
Look at what BYD is doing in Europe. They are becoming one of the best-selling vehicles, bar none. They are emerging, especially in the UK, but and, in all of Europe, BYD is increasing sales. I forget the percentages, but I mean, leaps and bounds. They're
Right.
moving
Okay.
forward. So
Agreed.
hold on, hold on, hold on. So here in the US, we have all sorts of barriers when it comes to Chinese cars. But go back 50 years. Oh, when Toyota started selling cars in this country, people were very protectionist, and we
Yeah.
did not want to see the invasion of Japanese cars in America. That was not going to happen.
They went for the
Okay.
Korean car
And
manufacturers
then
briefly.
came the Korean the Hyundai group, okay?
Kia Group, right? Yep.
And we all laughed back in the 80s and 90s at the Hyundai. What was the model? I mean, it
Well, I'm
was
sure I don't remember the model, but they were all basic, real basic
the
small cars.
and
And
here we are. Toyota, I mean, Toyota is one of the biggest manufacturers in the on the planet. They make the best vehicles, or some of the best vehicles. They are number one, two, on sales charts for every segment of the market that they are in.
including the electric guys. There's a headline I have in front of me. Toyota bucks the trend of declining February EV numbers, meaning their EV sales are up. And why aren't the Americans? Is it because they're just taking them off the market so they don't have them? As you say, they don't have the right vehicles in stock for anybody to look at. People, when they want to buy cars, are not very patient about how long it takes them to want to buy something. Would you agree, Jay?
There's that. I think the whole sales model is just antiquated, and I don't want to go on a rant on
No, I
dealers.
think we should leave that alone.
Well, we can discuss it, but we don't certainly don't have time now. So I think we can revisit all these. I mean, there's brands that are up and coming, and there are certainly nice vehicles, with all of these
All the vehicles are
manufacturers.
good. Yeah.
So a quick note here: summer is right around the corner, right? Sports cars and convertibles. If
Okay.
we want to go into vehicles that we don't use year round, and so I've been reading articles. Obviously, I have my thoughts. You have yours. You have sports cars that are soon to qualify as antiques, right? You have a
Yes,
sports car. You have
absolutely.
a convertible sports car,
I got a van. Yeah, well, not a sports car.
No,
Yeah,
well,
but
I'm
I have a
talking about,
convertible sports car,
yeah.
and you're right.
So if you, I mean, yes, go and buy a new one if you can afford to have a summer car sitting in and not driving it year round, or you can drive it year round. But there are deals to be made out there. There are some great used cars. The Mazda Miata in all of its generation has always been a great both sports car and convertible. I remember when I bought mine 25 years ago, so this was the early 2000s. All of a sudden, everybody in town was buying a little $5,000 Miata, and I have friends who still have theirs. I do too, but it's sitting in a parking lot outside, in
Rusting
waiting,
away.
rusting away, I'm afraid. Yes, I need to do something about that. But there are other cars that can be good deals. And like you have a Mustang, GT convertible.
Yeah.
That could be a fun summer car. I mean, I'm sure if you tried to sell it today, you wouldn't get all that much money. So you can go out and buy one for, not paying $60,000 for a new one, and still have fun for, the summer months.
Correct.
Mercedes convertibles, even the SL sports car comes to mind. You can get a 20-year-old, 2003, 2004, 2005 Mercedes SL with a hardtop convertible for, $20,000 or less, and day in, day out. They're beautiful cars. They're fast, they're comfortable. They're probably not cheap to operate, but you're not going to run them 20 or 30,000 miles a year. So if those are good choices, in my opinion.
Okay, I think those are that's a good comment to make. We've all talked about how if you don't have to have the newest, latest, and most modern model of a car that you might be interested in having as a driver's car, that's exactly the way to go. Go find a good used one sitting around, either through private people who are trying to sell it because they don't need it anymore, or the dealers that might have taken it in a trade-in for something new. As we've said about the electric car world, that's the only way I think anybody should right now buy an electric car, not buy a new, because the used vehicle values are much better, and the electric cars are basically good. The batteries last long time. They don't need as much maintenance, which is a very big plus in my mind. You can get a good car for, I think the used Toyota Priuses are probably a very good buy for people who don't have the money to buy a new one and or a up, an upper level car. So there it is.
Yeah, the second gen of Toyota Prius are actually good deals. Not electric cars, they're hybrids, but they if you need cheap wheels, it's certainly something to look at. Before we
Wind up this show.
get pulled off the air here, going into summer months, kids are going to be on the streets soon, popping wheelies on the double yellow line on Main Street. So.
I don't understand that, to jump in on this comment. I've seen more rubber, evidence of rubber burning or around our roads this spring than I can recall seeing any other spring. Not that I remember numerically what I see each year on this front. I do not know why people do that.
Because it's been a long winter, people are getting out, and I don't know.
I don't know either. How many thousand miles of wear do you take off when you leave a patch of rubber leaving a stoplight or a stop sign on
So
our
I do recall. I think it must be in the Guinness Book of Records. There was,
road?
well, this goes back 10, 15 years ago. There, for those of us who know Taconic Road in out of Salisbury, going towards Canaan, there was a dual continuous rubber mark that was, I think, a mile and a half long.
I don't know that they could do that long, but
Oh
yes,
yeah.
I know. I think I know which one you're talking about because I'm sure I observed it and wondered how they could do that long,
For
even if
those
it
of
was
you who have the vehicles that
anything
can.
over a quarter of a mile's too long.
Yeah, not good for your tires, not good for your brakes, because obviously you're using the front brakes to slow the vehicle down. Not to be recommended by any stretch. I don't know why we're even talking about this.
You brought it up.
No, well, yeah, I know I did, but I started this part of the conversation talking about kids being on the road, and just let's keep our eyes peeled. And let's remember that, when you pass a cyclist, you are allowed, and actually, it's kind of a rule, if not the law, that you have to leave them 4 feet. So you can go over a double yellow line to go
Yes.
around a bicycle.
That's
And I
assuming
never
nobody's
hesitate
coming
to
at
do
you
that.
on the other direction at the same time
Well,
you're
if
trying to
somebody's
do this.
coming at you, what I
You've
do, if
got to
I'm going
slow
near.
down and go by them carefully.
So that's my
And
safety tip for the week.
I must say, to add to this, you've got a visual problem developing with the greening of our countryside, in that it's harder to see some of these bicyclists, and not to mention pedestrians, who aren't wearing very bright colored clothing that jumps out at you before you get in their vicinity and have to watch out about not hitting them.
Yeah, if you're riding a bike, get those flashing lights, front and rear. It's
And I
just.
would say wear an iridescent piece of clothing somehow too, because all that can help you survive our roads and our country roads around our listening corner.
Car Keys with Robin Leach and Jay DeMarkin is produced at the facilities of WHDD 91.9 FM, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.